name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Hello and welcome to Pure Home with me, Sahar Hakju. Well, first of all, we all know that one of the hardest tasks in life is child rearing, bringing up your children with proper morals and proper values. Today, we'll be discussing raising your children according to Islamic values. And of course, we'll have other informative segments to our program, so you'll definitely want to stay tuned. Well, we're delighted to have Dr. Sayed Javed Mazlumi back with us to help us better understand raising children according to Islamic values. Welcome to the program, Dr. Mazlumi.
It is my pleasure.
It's wonderful to have you. Anything new? It's been quite a while since we had you on the program.
Let me offer and present my condolence for the last 2 days, that the day of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his grandson, Imam Hassan and Imam Reza, and as well let me say greeting for the new months of Rabiul Awal. Inshallah, I hope all of your audience have better days in the future and in their life.
Inshallah. Yes, we bid farewell to Safar, which is a nice change and Rabiul Awal will hopefully enter with plenty of blessings. And goodness. Okay, so for a lot of our viewers, it's been a while since we spoke about our topic, raising children according to Islamic values. So we have in our previous session, we spoke about choosing friends and friendship for our children and also young adults. What's the next influential factor in upbringing children?
As you mentioned, we were talking about the factors which have important influence on the uprising the children. We talked about the society, for example. We talked about the inheritance. We talk about the society. We said we have different levels of society. They have their own effects on our children. The first we talked about the parents and family. The second we talk about the friendship. And today I hope we can begin a new part of our speech about the media. As you know, we live in the world which every time we are affected by the media around ourselves. We have different types of media and each of them has its important influence, and I can say very, very effective influence in our life as well as our children. So we need to have and look at, to have a glance on this part of our life, how media can affect our life and our children's life as well. And because we can talk about each part and each group and branch effectively, let me divide the media into different branches. Sometimes we talk about the book and magazines and newspapers, let me call them printed media. When we talk about the printed media as the let me say the first and oldest appearance of media in our life, so here we have some magazines, books and newspapers and everything which we call them published or printed type of media. In the second level, we have another type. And in the first level, we have the printed media. It contains just the text and sometimes pictures. But when we go to the other step, we reach the media as the movies and TV and such a things which convey the text, which convey the sounds, voice and the pictures and moving pictures. So here we have a new generation of media which have can be said that it has more effective effects in our life.
This is the second.
Okay. And at the third, I want to mention the internet and
so the
digital media. Yeah, because when we go to digital media, here we have some differences, very clear differences between each steps of this. Here it is not in the second part. You are just, let me say, you have a passive role. Mm-hmm. You are sitting there watching on TV or watching on a movie. Mm-hmm. But when you go to the internet, when you go to the digital, it is interactive. Mm-hmm. So you have here an active role in this communication. Mm-hmm. And internet, or let me say the digital media, has many things in common. Here you have the information of text, which were converted from the books and magazines. Now you can have text on internet, or you can have text in your CD-ROMs and local programs. Mm-hmm. Here you have the sound and voice. You have here the movies. And here we can add some new facilities there.
So it's, I think, progress.
Yeah, right? I think it is the progress that we can see gradually during the time. Mm-hmm. These changes happen during the time. At the first step, we had the book, mm-hmm. magazines, and newspapers. In the second, we reach to the area of movie and TV. And in the third part, we go to the internet and digital media. Here we have a combination of all.
Mm, probably the most influential.
Yeah, and most influential because they added all of them together. Mm-hmm. And it is not just some combination between them. They made a new progress, mm-hmm. and they changed it. And I hope, inshallah, we will talk about it, that here it is not just text and voice. And no, it is not just combination of these. Here happens something new. It is the communication. It is the interactive. Mm-hmm. And it is some place to have a new life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes call it the second life in our life. So we will try to spoke about each of the steps, inshallah, during the next sessions, if we can.
Perfect. Well, we look forward to that. We'll go and listen to our story, and of course, we'll be back to speak about those topics that you said.
Pray like Quran. The Prophet, peace be upon him, went to visit a patient. He asked the patient how he felt and said, "How did you get sick?" The patient answered, "You said the evening prayer while we were saying our prayers behind you. You recited the surah Al-Qari'ah in your prayer. Then I said, 'O God, if I have committed any sin and you're going to punish me for it in the afterworld, please punish me sooner in this world, and don't keep it for the afterworld.'" After saying this, I got sick, and I have been feeling so bad, as you can see. The Prophet said, "You prayed badly. Why didn't you pray as Quran has said? And among them, there are some who say, 'O our Creator and Nurturer, grant us good in this world and in the hereafter, and save us from the torment of the fire.'" Then the Prophet prayed for him, and the young man recovered. Thank you.
Welcome back to the program. Well, we're here with Dr. Maslami to help us better understand how we can help our children in the time of media. We know that media is very, very influential, and how we can help our children guide them towards this media. And because of limitation of time, I believe we'll be covering the publications and printed media. And then in our next shows, we'll be talking about the TV and the digital internet and so on. Okay, so what is the point of view of Islam as about media as a source of knowledge?
Everyone, I think, heard about this part of history that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was in the cave of Nur, Hira, in the mountain of Nur, and he heard a voice. It says, "Iqra, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam." Here we have some verses. The first verse which come to the human, I mean the first revealing verse of Holy Quran was "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min 'alaq." So the Quran begins by the word of read. It means "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." Read in the name of Lord, who created the human, created the man. "Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min 'alaq." Who created the human being from the blood clots? And after that it says, "Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram." Read, and your Lord is the most generous. "Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam." Who taught the human being by pen? "Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil-qalam, 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam." Who taught the human being what? What he cannot understand it. So here you can see the beginning of Holy Quran and the beginning of Islam is in the first point by reading and studying. So the books and their reading and writing has a very valuable point in Islamic values. And as you know, in the history, when we refer to the history of the Saudi Arabia and Islamic parts at that time, before the Islam, there was very, very limited people there. I mean, the literate people was very, very limited that they can count it, for example, 5 or 10 just people in the, that huge area. But after Holy Quran and after Islam, we gathered there a lot of people who were learned and who were illiterated. In some wars as well, for example, we have that Prophet asked the people who get prisoned by Muslims that to teach the Muslims the knowledge and science, and after that get free. So it was the price of their freedom. So you can understand that here the learning, studying, reading are more under emphasize of Holy Quran.
The value.
It was very valuable part. And here we can understand and we heard that many times it is put emphasis on them. For example, we have one verse, one narration. It says that talabul utlubul ilm walau bis-sin. It is from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He said, "Utlubul ilm, look for the knowledge and science, even in the China." And as you know, China was at that time the farthest part in the human area. So it means that you should go look for the knowledge even to the very, very part areas of human living. And or in sometimes it is not even said that there is no nothing to just for believers or non-believers. It is something obligatory for every guy and lady to learn. So we can here find many emphases about the reading and studying, about the books, and we can find there are other emphases about the knowledge. So we find the most widespread area of knowledge. And when we look at the books and magazines and newspapers as a source of knowledge, so here we can find it. It is, there is clear emphasis on it. Even for the non-believers, we have something that we say, "Al-hikmatu dhallatul mu'min." Wise saying and wisdom are lost of believers, lost of Muslims. فَخُذِ الْحِكْمَةَ وَلُوْ مِنْ أَهْلِ النِّفَاقِ. So get the hikmah and wisdom even from the hypocrites. Or in some other says, وَلُوْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Even from the non-believers, polytheists. So we have this emphasis to learn, study about the knowledge and science in Islam, even from non-believers, mm-hmm. hypocrites, or polytheists.
Mm-hmm. So anywhere, there's no limitation as far as
we should
knowledge,
go to the most, I said that in the China, of mm-hmm. the furthest place. In the
but is there a limitation on what you read? And what kind of publications you read?
Yeah, here we can go to other part that talk about the limitations of Islam. Mm-hmm. Why we have these limitations? At that say we say you can learn from the hypocrites. Mm-hmm. You can learn from the non-believers.
Just depends on what you're learning from them.
Here we have some limitations that mm-hmm. we can talk about it. In the one verse, it says, فَلْيَنُّذُرَ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ تَعَامِهِ. Human being should observe his eat and food. Mm-hmm. And in the narration explains, this means the knowledge. What is the source of his knowledge? It means that not just eating, it means the bread or meat mm-hmm. and such a thing. No, even the knowledge is some type of eating for us.
You're it devouring is devouring knowledge.
Yeah, it is getting some food. It mm-hmm. is spiritual food for mm-hmm. us to learn. So here, فَلْيَنُّذُرَ الْإِنسَانُ لَا تَعَامِ. Any human being should observe his knowledge, mm-hmm. and what is the source of his knowledge. So how we can combine between this narration and verse with those I mentioned, that it mm-hmm. says you should go to the every place and you should learn from the hypocrites or even non-believers. Here they say it. Mm-hmm. We have two type of knowledge. Sometimes you know it is the beneficial knowledge, mm-hmm. science, it is hikmah, wisdom, wise saying, you should get it. Because it is pure, mm-hmm. even from the hypocrite or non-believer or polytheist.
I think that's beneficial.
Yeah, beneficial. But sometimes you reach to some words that you cannot decide about them. You're not sure about mm-hmm. them. Are they right or wrong? Here, you need to get it from some reliable sources. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even nowadays, we can hear a lot of sentences, mm-hmm. a lot of news. But some of them we know can affect our knowledge, can affect our beliefs, but unfortunately wrong effects and bad effects. Mm-hmm. So here I'm not sure. When I'm not sure about this sentence, about this, is it right or wrong, I should use and get it from reliable sources. Mm-hmm. So here we can divide the knowledge in these two types. When we are sure about some type of knowledge, it is knowledge, benefit, and accurate, so we can obey them, we can get them from each source. But when we go to the some part that we are not sure about this news, about this topic, about this sentence, here we should get the more reliable resources to have a better understanding from this knowledge. Mm-hmm. So here we have some widespread part, and some limitations which go just to the part that we want to get the right and reality. Mm-hmm. When you get your information from a not reliable, here you cannot rely on the mm-hmm. source. So here, these limitations just go to the source to be accurate and according to the reality. So Holy Quran and verses say here that you should concentrate on what you get and what you learn. If it is right and you know this is useful, it is enough. And if you are not sure about it, you should use and get it from some better sources and more reliable sources. Mm-hmm.
Also, having said that, I would say that for possibly different people, there would be different limitations, because if you're more knowledgeable, then you can probably go and read publications that are a little bit more, I mean, you could be skeptical, but because you have the knowledge, you can go ahead and read them, because you might need them for debates or to further your knowledge or further your argument. But if you're not as knowledgeable, then you should be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah. Sure, it is in this way, but because we are talking about the children most of the time are mm-hmm. innocents and they cannot decide about this.
Right.
But in fact, for the scholars, it is the same. For the scholars, there is no limitation for them. Mm-hmm. Even the worst sentences which try to discuss about the even existence of Allah subhanahu mm-hmm. wa ta'ala, we read them, study them, talk with them, and there is no limitation in this part, but it is for the scholars. When you go to the children, for the young people who are not learned a lot and they are not considered scholars in any mm-hmm. way, you need to give them some pure knowledge, mm-hmm. pure reality. Here you need to have these limitations to keep them safe mm-hmm. from this type of wrong knowledge, because you know it can have some bad effects mm-hmm. on their beliefs and on their life as well.
Mm-hmm, of course. Okay. When we come back, we'll have From Here and There, and then afterwards we'll continue because we want to know if what are the publication circumstances for our children at the present. So don't go away. We'll be back. Welcome back. Well, it's time for From Here and There with my colleague Mahdi Babagulzadeh. As usual, I think he'll offer us maybe some medical tips, possibly websites. I'm not sure what he has for us today. Mr. Golzadeh, what do you have?
Thank you. Now, for today, I've got an article on eyes for blind people. Mm-hmm. Another one is a record-breaking soup or osh. Okay. Now, hello, dear viewers, and welcome to this part of the program. From Here and There. Now, a new research has demonstrated that adults who have been bilingual since childhood have sharper brains and work more efficiently. Researchers studied some 110 adults between the ages of 60 and 68 in two groups of monolingual and bilingual since childhood. The participants were analyzed by brain imaging tests while they did the test. Now, the researchers found that both the monolingual and bilingual participants were able to complete the task. However, the ones who were bilingual were able to do so more quickly. This study also indicated that the frontal cortex brain regions of bilingual seniors used less energy compared with those participants who were able to speak only one language. Meanwhile, an earlier research suggested that being bilingual could actually help to protect the brain from age-related disease such as Alzheimer's. Welcome back. Now, a team of researchers has reported that injections of light-sensing cells into the eye of totally blind mice can restore their lost vision. The team suggested that their research closely resembles the treatments of the patients with eye disease, though it needs more serious study. The researchers studied a group of mice with a complete lack of light-sensing photoreceptor cells in their retinas, the ones that were even unable to distinguish the difference between light and dark. According to the findings, the mice were injected by precursor cells, which would develop into the building blocks of a retina once inside the eye. After 2 weeks, a retina was formed and the entire light-sensitive layer was reconstructed. The mice were examined through passing different tests, such as observing their pupils' response to light and scanning their brain's process of receiving visual information. The experts have stressed that early results suggest that the technique is safe, but reliable results will take several years. Now, the 63,000 kilogram soup. On the occasion of anniversary death of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in many cities across Iran, a special dish called osh, which is an Iranian soup, is prepared and distributed amongst the people, mostly the needy. Many men and women participate in the preparation and cooking of the osh. For some people, this is to fulfill their pledges, since they had made a pledge to God to do so in return for their wishes coming true. This year, the city of Shiraz may have broken the record by preparing an osh which took 63,000 kilograms of supplies. Well, that was it from me. I hope you enjoyed this part of the program, From Here and There. As usual, you can visit us at sahartv.ir, or you could also email us as well at purehome@sahartv.ir. You could call us directly on 0098-2122-16-2887 or 0098-2122-16-2854. Back to you, Ms. Akhtar.
Mr. Gulzada, as always, very informative. Bonsai plants. I'm not sure if you've ever heard about bonsai plants, but they're a Japanese art form using miniature trees grown in containers. The Japanese tradition dates back 1,000 years, and it has its own aesthetics and terminology. Let's learn about bonsai plants.
Means in Japanese, tree in a pot. You can make bonsai with every tree you like. We have different trees here. We have these trees you see here are all native trees from Iran. We have here different maples, different fruit trees like apples, like plums. The history of bonsai is very old. It's about 1,500 years old. Originally, it came from China, and okay, it was developed in Japan. The Japanese bonsai are very magnificent and are very nice trees. In Iran, the bonsai is quite young. We don't have a lot of bonsai masters here. It developed about maybe 5 or 6 years, which bonsai came in the market. We usually use native trees for bonsai. They are not imported because the Chinese trees are in the quality not so good. And with the weather in Iran, we have a very hot climate. So the tropical bonsais, they don't develop very good in Iran. We started to develop bonsais from our native trees. We have a bonsai group in Iran. We have a bonsai club, which tries to develop this fine art, also to make it public. In this exhibition, our aim is to bring bonsai near to the people so that our dear citizens also learn what bonsai is. So they don't think that bonsai is a special tree. You can make bonsai with every tree you like. Thank you.
Welcome back. Well, if you've just tuned in, we're speaking about media and publications and its effects on our children in this day and age. And Dr. Maslami, we want to know, in the current circumstances in today's world, children, young adults, what are the circumstances about the publications that they have access to?
When we talk about all the world, we are not concentrating just on one country. We are talking about the whole world. Mm-hmm. Here we can find, unfortunately, the conditions of publication are not so good. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in the first look, you can see that they are always, unfortunately, under some unfortunately limited companies, mm-hmm. who they were governing all of these type of areas of publication, newspaper, mm-hmm. magazines, book houses, and such as things. Mm-hmm. For example, it is said that we have there just about six companies, and very huge companies, mm-hmm. Which they are governing all magazines, or let me say, in fact, 80% of magazines in the United States, United Kingdom, Europe, and some other countries.
Really?
And it is very difficult to believe, mm-hmm. but it is a fact that every newspapers here, it is said, for example, in the United States, we have somehow more than 1,500 newspapers, mm-hmm. each day, but 80% of them under the control of six big companies. And some of them, for example, is the, it is said that the biggest one is the AOL and Time Warner, that you can find from the name. It is a combination of three different companies.
Wow.
There were the Warner Brothers in the entertainment, mm-hmm. and after that we have the Time. So they get together and make a new company. And after a while, they from one side, which was the TV, internet, movies, and from the magazines and publication like Time, mm-hmm. they are added to another company, AOL. A big company, a huge company.
So they've merged, and
yeah,
they almost have a monopoly.
Yeah, yeah. And AOL was the biggest company in the United States and Canada from the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So they gathered different types of information and medias, mm-hmm. from the book and magazine and newspapers from the Time, from the TV movies like the Warner Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and from the internet like AOL. So here we have a huge company. It is not considered, in fact, one company, but it is a group.
Mm-hmm.
With they join to each other to make the control of the biggest part.
Mm-hmm.
Or in other part, we have a very big news company that it is about, it contain and governing a lot of companies, and you can find the very famous magazines and newspapers are listed under their name, like
mm-hmm.
News Corporation. It is the second company as well. And in fact, we have just six companies. It shows that they are under one ruling, or let me say six ruling, unfortunately, very limited rulings.
Mm-hmm.
And even in some cities, we have two magazines which are owned by one company, although they look that they are always in challenge with each other.
Mm-hmm.
One of them are published in the morning and another in the evening. But in fact,
really,
both of them are organized with each other in one company.
Mm-hmm.
It means that all this huge amount of publications are under control.
Mm-hmm.
This control makes us to obey, to learn, to
mm-hmm.
get our information from some limited sources.
Mm-hmm.
And it can have bad effects. Let me have some stats for you. For example, when we go to the book, do you know what is the bestseller book series in the world? It is Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting to understand that according to the major statistics, we have something about 450 millions of this book, this series, I mean,
mm-hmm.
published. And it is referring just to officially published. Although we have here some illegal publishing and copying and such as things, we don't talk
not
about
taking
them.
That
yeah. We are talking and considering just the officially published.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? It means 4,450,000,000 of this book are in the hands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are read not by one person, by different person.
Right.
So it can be considered the most effective book in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some reports from different news agencies, for example, BBC or ABC News, and many different, that
mm-hmm.
they put emphasis that we have 450 million copies I mean, official copies of this book in their hands. What does it mean? It means we have here a huge wave, a huge movement. And these books, these seven books, carry out a knowledge, a culture, a lifestyle. And it will affect our life. And it is not just for Muslims or non-Muslims. It is not just for Iranian or other countries. In different countries, we have some talking and challenge about it. Between different religions as well. For example, let me read this one. I think it is very nice. It was interesting for me as well. The Pope, our current Pope, he when he was the cardinal, it means in the 2003 years, there was a letter wrote to him and asked him about the Harry Potter. And he talked about it, that it say the cardinal specifically pointed to the fact that the danger of the Harry Potter book is hidden was greatly concerning. These dangers are hidden but very concerning. It is good that you shed light and inform us on the Harry Potter matter, for these are subtle seductions that are barely noticeable, and precisely because of that deeply affect, it is from the Pope, he says, deeply affect children and corrupt the Christian faith in souls even before it, the faith could properly grow. Here you can see just one book, the seven books of one novel. It is a series of novels, and surely you know about it. And here we have novels, fictional novels. There's no documentary. No one say they are true. No one say it is a report of the life. But they can have its effects. It is not just for Muslims. It was, I narrated for you from the current Pope. What? Why? Because it will convey some lifestyle to our children. You know, these books are considered and based on the magic. And in many Christian movements, they opposed it as a black magic. When we teach our children that you can do everything by magic, everything is in their hands, so you cannot get a right close relation with the reality. In the reality, we don't believe it.
Gives you a distorted image of what life is all about.
Surely. And this is, you know, it is not just books. Today we are talking about the books. These seven books converted into the movies. And after that they were converted to the games and some sites. And after that you can go in every part of your life, some footprints of this. For example, in the clothes, we have some shirts, we have some, they are printed, the, they are, for example, picture and why? Here you can see it is not just one book. It is a culture, and this culture can affect. It is not, I said, just for Muslims. Even between non-Muslims, we have the problem. Or even some countries, for example, in Turkish, in Turkey, they had some problem with this Harry Potter. Or even in Eastern countries, when you go to the China, there was a very strong civilization. It is a very old civilization with its own culture. But when come a let me say, event like Harry Potter, here it can attack this civilization because it is conveying its culture with the these books and novels. So here you can see the problem. And here we have, it is interesting, I think you can find, if you look at on the internet, you can find different books which are written about the danger of Harry Potter. These novels, they said it is spreading some type of non-believeness. They are spreading about the magic, some knowledge. They are conveying our children to non-belief. And they are trying to teach our children everything are in the hands of black magic and such things. And it happens after the publishing this book, they many people have a new idea and they say, oh, it is possible to go to the magic and use the, such a books and such a things, and they got more selling on the bookstores. Here, I want to mention, when we look at the one book, it is not just one book. It can convey the culture. When you go to the magazines, here, the six big companies are organizing and, let me say, controlling the 80% of publication in the world. Mm-hmm. So here you can find it is not so easy to say it is just one book. No, it is not just one book.
Put it aside.
It can has its own effect, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, if it is such an effective effect, and we are not concerning about the source of this knowledge, mm-hmm. so we may be affected by this. And it is not just, I say, it is not just Muslims, even non-Muslims, even Christians, even Jewish people, mm-hmm. and in different countries have the...
Just problem. Anybody with, I guess, a culture or a sense of morality, I think. And it's strange because a lot of people have no idea, even if they've been somewhat meticulous. There is some publications that you know it's very clear that they're somewhat dangerous for your children. But I think... something like Harry Potter, a lot of people would have no idea that it could pose some risks and danger for your
When we
your
talk
children.
About the culture, I want to emphasize it's not just religion. Mm-hmm. Even about the language, you know, they are United Kingdom language. Mm-hmm. So they said it's spreading some type of an accent of language. Some mm-hmm. words of English and United Kingdom English are spreading, and it is interesting to know it is translated into more than 70 languages.
Well, I can imagine when there's so many readers.
So it will say that it is a person in France or Germany will be affected by this type of culture as well, although mm-hmm. it belongs just to some special country or some special type of culture. Mm-hmm. It is going to be widespread mm-hmm. all around the world.
Right. Okay, so it seems like we are running out of time, but it's very important that we do wrap up and come to a conclusion. So we want to know what parents, what are their duties in regards to this for their children?
I think I can have two major points for this short of time. The first, we should consider about the books, magazines that our children can get. Mm-hmm. The second...
That they have access to.
Yeah, they have access to these books. We don't say it is just a fiction, this mm-hmm. is a novel. No, it can affect his mind, his beliefs, his lifestyle.
Right.
The second, I want to say there are many Islamic and good sources for the books, mm-hmm. for children books and magazines. I know it is not so easy to get access to their hard copies, mm-hmm. but you can find many sites for Islamic institutions all around the world on the internet, mm-hmm. and you can get the digital copies of these books, and they will be very useful. It is not just about the life of Prophet or infallibles, although we have them, mm-hmm. but there are some other books which are written by some authors who care about the Islamic values. So they can give some Islamic point of view in the life to your children, and it is better to look for these sites mm-hmm. and introduce them to our children, to give them some, from the internet, some copy of these digital mm-hmm. copies, and they can use these as a main sources for their knowledge and magazines as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Maslimi, as always. Very informative, and we hope that we can properly guide our children towards the right publication so that they won't be negatively affected. And thank you to our viewers for tuning in. Don't forget, email us purehome@sartv.ir. And of course, do go and check out our programs on the website, sartv.ir. Thanks so much for inviting us into your Pure Home. Until next time, goodbye and God bless.